If you read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he says that you don't even know if you're a Christian unless you have love. And that's the way to tell if you're a Christian. If you start loving things and start loving people that were difficult to love, that's how you know that you really are a follower of Christ. So he says that love is the real test of true Christianity. But the real test of being spirit-filled is the fruit of the Spirit, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Some people think it's the gifts of the Spirit. No, you can mimic those. But the fruit of the Spirit, you can't mimic. If you have the fruit of the Spirit, that is the genuine evidence that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the gifts will operate, but how many of you know that when the gifts operate without love, they're dangerous? They can be abusive to the body of Christ, and I'll talk about that just a little bit more. So we're going to talk about the golden rule. So here's the golden rule for those of you that might have forgotten it or you were never told the golden rule. It's found in Matthew 7 and 12, and it's do to others what you want them to do to you. Okay, so now when this literally the first, now if you're from the King James school, it's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How many of you learned it that way? Do unto others as you would have them learn. How many of you still apply that in your life? You treat others the exact way you want to be treated. Okay, so this is where we get hung up in the body of Christ. If I speak to you one way, I'm giving you permission to speak to me that way. If I do something to you, I'm giving you permission. I'm saying, this is how I want you to treat me. So we begin Christian conduct with an accountability of being Christ-like ourselves. So it's the very first rule we teach our children, and this is how we say it to our children. Treat others the way you want to be treated. So it's the very first thing that we teach them. So how many of you taught your children that lesson? If not, you need to start teaching that lesson. You'll be really glad you did. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And when someone's treating them the wrong way, you say, well, but we're Christians. You treat others the way you want to be treated. So that is what we call the golden rule. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands. I just want you to think about this question. How many of you really treat others the way you want them to treat you? How many of you realize that this golden rule is more like the golden ruler? It is a measurement. It measures the depth of our roots with God. Because when we have the love of God in us, the love of God comes out of us and loves other people. The Bible says you cannot say, I love God and not love your brother. He said you can't say it because it doesn't work that way. God says if you do not love your brother, you don't love God either. You might think you do. You might need God. But that's different from loving God. Because God said, do not say that you love God when you don't love your brother. So love is really the foundation of what Christianity is all about. So here's a sobering thought. Every time I speak to someone, I'm training them how I want them to speak to me, in my tone, in my actions. So if I'm speaking harsh to someone, I'm saying, it's okay to speak harsh to me. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm giving you permission to speak to me the same way I speak to you. That's what the Bible says. This is not my words. This is do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. It's the golden rule. It's got to start somewhere. And so this is where it starts. So immediately after Jesus gives them this golden rule, in Matthew 7 and verse 14, he begins immediately talking about spiritual fruit. Now listen to this. He says, beware false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by what? You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? He said, grapes are nice and sweet. You don't get them from thorn bushes. Thorn bushes are not. The words of a Christian are sweet. The words that are harsh and mean and demeaning and degrading, that's not Christian language. So he said, that's a thorn bush. That's a thistle. So you don't gather grapes. You don't gather the wine of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the blessing of the Spirit. Notice he mentions fruits, and then he mentions thorns and thistles. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Okay, so I don't know if you know this, but when I'm here on Tuesdays, I study in the back office. Now, I also share this office with Perry and every other speaker that ever speaks in this building. So it's just a nice private place to study. So I go back there and I pray. And so today I'm going through my sermon and I'm how I preach and this is how I do. I talk with my hands and all that stuff. And so I knock something off on the floor that was that Perry had laying up. I guess someone had given this to him at a conference. And so I thought, this is perfect. I'm going to use this as an illustration. Now, this is not my t-shirt, but I promise you I'm going to get me one, because it says that you will know a tree by the fruit it bears. So this is what this t-shirt says. Follow the fruits and not the nuts. So how many of you know that is a good message? Follow the fruits, but not the nuts, because both of them come and anyway, I thought it was funny. So I thought that's a great illustration for beware of false prophets, because they come in sheep's clothing. You will know them by their fruit.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
So he's talking about that everything you do has to be grounded in the fruit of the Spirit. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Let's talk about that in Galatians chapter 5. This is something that every Christian needs to learn, if you don't know that. And this is something every Christian needs to try to the best of your ability to apply to your life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and that's the foundation, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then notice how he ends that with a very strange phrase, against such there is no law. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to tell you that every Christian needs to memorize the fruit of the Spirit, because the foundation of Christianity is love. Everything we do needs to be motivated by love, because that is the spiritual gift that operates in your life. Have you ever seen anybody operate a spiritual gift without love? It's quite disgusting, isn't it? Have you ever seen a mean-spirited person work the altars? A person that was trying to make themselves look powerful and strong or something, and they just abuse people? I mean, I want you to raise your hand. Have you ever seen somebody abused in an altar before? It's a sad sight, but it happens because the motive of praying for the people is not love. So when you work the altars, the motive of everything you do has to be coming from a place of love, that you really genuinely care about people and you're filled with compassion and your heart breaks for them. That's when miracles happen. The Bible says that Jesus had compassion on the crowd, and that is when the blind saw. That is when the deaf heard. That is when the miracles happened, because it was the compassion that compelled. When you have love for people, more miracles will happen in your life than if you're harsh to people. And if you can be stern, you can speak the truth. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't be rude to them because you have a spiritual gift or some motive of spiritual authority. We teach in most of the time in the Pentecostal world. I don't say we teach it. We kind of assume in this Pentecostal spirit-filled world that the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. Now, I want to go beyond that. I will say that I can go as far as saying the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues of some sort or another. And that comes in all kinds of forms. It's not always a fluent language or lots of sentences. Sometimes it's two or three words, because there's so many different types of languages in the world, you don't know what you're saying. You know, there's whistling languages. And if somebody starts whistling in the Spirit, well, you know, I don't know what to do with that, but I can't judge it, because if it's in the Lord, there are whistling languages. There are grunting languages. There's a lot of tonal languages that do not articulate the same way that we do in the English language. The Chinese language is a tonal language. The American Indian language of the Navajo is a tonal language. It's filled with grunts and things that don't even sound like words, and it's the tone of the grunt that helps them to understand what they're actually saying. And I've heard a lot of people speak in tongues in some very strange ways. And so I don't judge that, because I believe that there's so many languages in the world, there's a lot of dead languages in the world, that they're praising God and believing God and declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord in one of those languages. But I really believe that even though we can say the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit might be speaking in tongues, I would say the continual evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. The continual evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because everybody that speaks in tongues is not nice. There's a lot of people that speaks in tongues that have no love in them at all. There's some people that are not kind. There is no goodness. There's no self-control. There's absolutely no patience. And yet they are speaking in tongues more than anybody else. Well, I believe the continual evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is the fact that you are walking in love and you're doing the work of Christ in the world around you. So if love is the continual evidence, don't get me wrong, it is still tongues, but one is an unknown tongue and the other is a controlled tongue. It's still tongues that is the evidence, but the first one is speaking in a heavenly language and the other one is speaking words that flow out of your spirit because the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. So it is the same. That is why 1 Corinthians 13 tells us in what we call the love chapter that if you work in all spiritual gifts but have not love, you're what? Just making noise. He calls you a clanging cymbal. He says, if you have all these spiritual gifts, you have faith and you have all these wonderful spiritual gifts working in your life, but you don't operate in love, which is the barometer of the spiritual gifts. So 1 Corinthians 13 says that if you have all these spiritual gifts, but you're not operating in love in those spiritual gifts, then you're just making noise. You're not accomplishing the work of the Lord or winning anyone for the Lord.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.